Vermont now officially has a new governor. Phil Scott delivered his inaugural address in the State House earlier this afternoon, and the Republican governor says his administration will focus on fighting opiate abuse, growing the economy, and reforming public education. BPR's Peter Hirschfeld was in the House chamber for the speech, and he joins us now live this evening. Peter, welcome.
It's great to be with you, Al.
So this is officially Phil Scott's first speech as governor. How did it play with the crowd, and what kind of tone is he trying to set for his administration?
You know, when Phil Scott first announced that he was running for governor, the question in a lot of people's minds was whether he had the magnetism to serve in that chief executive role. And his speech today, I think, shows how effective he's become at owning a big room. He's a sort of reserved and understated guy by nature, but he's figured out a way to turn that into a strength, and today he really played to it. He talked about his father's death when he was 11 years old from injuries sustained in World War II. He talked about how the flag that draped his father's coffin was flying outside of the State House today. He talked very compellingly about learning what community is really all about, growing up in Barrie, Vermont as the son of a single mom. And he also talked about the political divide in this country today and made some not-so-subtle references to the tumult and anxiety that Donald Trump's election has caused for a lot of Vermonters. And he also made what seemed like a really heartfelt commitment to protect the rights of any Vermonters who might see those rights abridged. Republicans loved it. They were going to love it no matter what, though. But even a number of Democrats that I spoke with said that as skeptical as they are of a Scott administration, they thought he acquitted himself pretty well today.
Peter, affordability was a word we heard repeatedly during the gubernatorial campaign. Phil Scott made economic development and fiscal restraint the centerpieces of his race. Did we get any indication today on how specifically he plans to deliver on those promises now that he's in office?
Not really. He announced the creation of a new position to deal with the opiate situation and what he's calling an opiate coordination council. But all in all, it was very long on vision and very short on specifics. Phil Scott said he'd be realigning the state's economic development resources, but he didn't say anything about what that restructuring might look like. As you'll hear in this excerpt, he talked a lot about his pledge to hold the line on state spending.
We cannot continue passing budgets that grow faster than the economy or wages of working Vermonters. I will set clear limits that reflect the changes working families see in their own finances. I will not support or carry out experiments at taxpayers' expense.
But we still don't have any idea at this point how Phil Scott is going to balance that budget. Reporters have spent months trying to get some specifics out of Phil Scott on how he plans to go about executing his grand vision, and it looks like we still aren't going to get many of those specifics until he delivers his budget address 3 weeks from now.
Scott's election means Vermont is back to having a divided government, a Republican governor, a state house controlled by Democrats. How did Democrats in the building react to what they heard from Governor Scott today?
There was a moment today that really crystallized what's going to be one of the fundamental disconnects between Phil Scott and the Democratic legislature, and it happened when Phil Scott reiterated his well-worn campaign pledge not to raise taxes or fees, either to fill budget shortfalls or to pay for new programs. Huge standing ovation from that line from House Republicans and from fans of Phil Scott who were gathered in the gallery. House Democrats stayed notably seated, most of them not even clapping. After the speech, I asked House Speaker Mitzi Johnson about that apparent lack of enthusiasm.
To think about some sort of revenue in order to make sure that generations hence have clean water to drink, you know, for tourism, for recreation, I'm willing to have that conversation, and I'm sorry that he's not at this point.
Now, Mitzi Johnson is talking there very specifically about the need, in her view, probably, to raise revenues for a water quality improvement plan that's projected to cost more than $1 billion over the next 20 years. And there are plenty of Democrats who would like to see government raise new revenues for other budget priorities as well. There's a real fear among many Democrats that abiding by Phil Scott's spending limits is going to cause a lot of pain for vulnerable residents, and they do not want to tie their hands now fiscally by writing off the possibility of raising taxes later this session.
There was another interesting policy point that the governor alluded to today, Peter. He talked about, quote, rethinking our entire education system. Do we have any idea what he means by that?
Not one bit at this point, honestly. And I think one of the more surprising elements of this speech was how incredibly bullish Phil Scott is sounding on reforming the public education system. He even intimated that he doesn't want local school boards to have to worry about dealing with local school budgets anymore, which would be a massive, massive change in the way Vermont's education system worked. I reached out to administration officials after the speech, and I asked if Phil Scott is going to be proposing major legislative initiatives or if he's going to be seeking a major overhaul of the state's education financing system. They have not responded to that inquiry, so I guess we'll have to stay tuned.
Something we'll figure out down the road. Peter Hirschfeld is a political reporter for VPR, talking to us live tonight from Montpelier. Peter, thank you.
Thank you, Al.